Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing Podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. But before we go, I should give the warning that I occasionally do have to give, which is that I record these in my home office, which is on a boat parked in a major city waterfront, and it's warm so the windows are open, and hey, background noise. Make you feel like you're at sea. Okay, this piece was published on the 24th of June, 2022, and is entitled Small Tables. Computer programs organize bits and bytes into, quote, data structures, unquote. In software of any import, the data structures are usually more interesting than the code around them. This part of the Quamina Diary, which is a link to all the series of articles I've been writing about this piece of software, takes a close look at a very simple data structure that I have greatly enjoyed using to build finite automata, and which I think has lessons to teach, and it's called Smalltable. And that's a link to the code on GitHub. The problem, you know, and I should also interject and say there's a certain amount of code in this, and if you are the kind of person who can read code and finds what I'm talking about interesting, you'd be well served by going and reading it so you can read the code. I'll try and deal with it as I get to it vocally. The problem, as described in a pretty short previous episode of this diary, Quamina matches patterns to events, which are flattened into name-value pairs for the purpose. We try to match field names and values from events to those offered in patterns. Matching names is easy. They are in immutable strings, both in events and patterns, and thus the following suffices, which is, this is all Go in these examples, and this is just a Go map from a string, which is the field name, to a value matcher, which is a thing that, well, matches values. Now, inside that value matcher is a harder problem. How to match the value of a field? Because patterns can include incantations like wildcards, star.jpg, and negative matches via the anything but control, and so on. Clearly, a map keyed by a string isn't going to do the job. In fact, we need another flavor of finite automaton that works at the level of characters within fields. Which raises the question, characters or bytes? If you want to run an automaton over Unicode text, you have to decide whether you're going to transition on code points, of which there are potentially 1,114,112, although at the moment only 144,697 are in use, or on UTF bytes, for which there are only 245 distinct values. Well, yes, a byte has 256 values, but the values between XF5 and FF can't appear in correctly constructed UTF-8, which is better, code points or bytes. Well, on the one hand, there are generally fewer code points than UTF bytes in a string, particularly Asian language strings, which means fewer steps to get through your automaton. On the other hand, the events coming in over the wire are almost certainly already in UTF-8, and anyhow, a lot of things you're going to match will be ASCII, for example, numbers, where the number of bytes and characters is the same. For Quamina's predecessor, which I wrote while at AWS, I picked bytes and never regretted it. And given how easy Go makes it to work with square brackets byte, which is in Golang called a byte slice, which you can think of as an array of bytes, sorta, and probably should. That's the simplest way to think about it. I wasn't tempted to do anything else. Goals and constraints. So let's say we have a data type named step that represents a transition between automaton states in response to a UTF byte. So here are two simple Go idioms that represent that kind of state table. A map keyed by byte values to steps, or just a fixed size array of 245 steps, one for each legit byte value. Neither of these made me happy, based on prior experience. First of all, I know that size will be a problem. Adding a million patterns to a Quamina instance is something that people will want to do, then they'll complain about memory burn. The second lesson comes from gathering statistics on state machines in the wild. Many of the UTF states have only one or two branches, and even in big complicated automata, the average number of out transitions from a state remains well below 10. Third, when you're building automata, it's common to want to express transition on a range of byte values. For example, to match a wildcard construct like star A, you transition to a new state when you see A and loop back on any other value. Similarly, you might be interested in transitioning on anything that's a decimal digit while matching numbers, or on hex digits while matching IPv6 addresses, or public key IDs, or whatever. Both the Go map and array fragments above look like they're going to use way more memory than needed. And in particular, Go's map construct is not simple, that's a link to its source code, and not free to initialize. It's complicated enough that even after considerable searching, I couldn't figure out how it actually implements maps with a byte value key. And neither simple option is very appealing for storing byte ranges. So, meet Smalltable. You can look on GitHub, that's a link, but here it is. And it's just a standard structure type with two fields, one called ceilings, which is a byte array, and one called steps, which is a genericized array for a thing called S. It's generic, and the S stands for step. The steps are different for deterministic and non-deterministic automata, but the logic for processing them is the same. So here's the code for find the step that corresponds to UTF-8 byte value. Shall I read the code? I mean, basically, it takes the byte value, and one of the fields is an array of bytes called ceilings, and it just says, you know, for each byte, if it's less than the ceiling, if the thing you're trying to match is less than the ceiling, well, then you found the thing and just return the corresponding step. You're not going to be able to understand it from that description. If you care, go read the code, but it's a really small loop. Wait, you say, that's going to run off the end of the array. Here's why it doesn't. And here's the code for initializing one of those. And so there's a trick, which is that you make sure that the last element in the array of byte ceilings is the number 246, which is greater than any UTF byte can have. So it'll never run off the end of the array for any UTF string. Here's an explanation by value of how Smalltable works. And here it shows that, basically, suppose you wanted a table where the byte values 3 and 4 map to, say, pattern 1, and the byte value 34 maps to pattern 2. Then the small table would have a value of ceilings 3 with nil, a value of ceilings 4, so that catches 3 and 4, with pointing to step 1, pattern 1. And then a ceiling of a value 34, catching everything between 5 and 34 with nil, and then a value of 35, which catches 34, pointing to pattern 2, and then the last one, the ceiling value of 246, which with nil. Invariant. The last elements of ceilings is always the byte ceiling, 246. The attentive reader may be wondering why it's 246 rather than 245. We'll get to that in a subsequent article. But why? Everybody knows that dereferencing a hash table, as in a Golang map, is order one. So why would I want to search sequentially? Bear in mind that I'm pulling in a byte array, so I get eight or more of those byte ceiling values for each memory fetch, and we know that the size of ceilings is usually less than 10, so I figure that I can run, on average, halfway through the byte array by the time the hash table code has done a couple of memory fetches and computed a hash. Because, you know, all computers wait for memory at the same speed. That's why ceilings and steps are in separate arrays, as opposed to an array of ceiling/step structures. It also helps that the code itself is very compact and should be cache-friendly. Speculation aside, it used to be a hash table, and it didn't slow down when I switched in Smalltable. Plus, it used way less memory. Plus, it represents ranges to matches of bytes very nicely. It's not perfect. There's a lot to like about Smalltable, and one big problem, which is it's hard to update. A couple of times I tried to write the code to change an arbitrary byte mapping in an existing small table, and pretty soon my head started to hurt. So what the code's doing now is it just unpacks the small table into an array of 245 bytes, 245 steps, indexed by the byte value, and then puts the right values in, and then packs it back into the small table structure. So there's two routines called unpack and pack that do this. The profiler shows that in situations where you're adding a lot of patterns to a Qmin instance, this approach is expensive, especially that pack call. I'm pretty sure that with more head scratching and a bit of inspiration, I'll find a faster way to update these things. Smalltable makes me happy. I think that if you're building an automaton driven by a range of small numbers with modest state fanout, you probably need something much like it. And that's all, folks.